Remember, we started this series off with Isaiah 54 verse 2 that talks about the stretching of your tent pegs, the deepening of the centerpiece of your life, so that your life can be go further and go higher and do more in God. And we talked about that we want to enlarge ourselves in God. Do you remember? We talked about who Jesus is. We talked about last week, why did Jesus die? And now, why in the world should we pray? And not only why should we pray, but how should we pray? Prayer is the most important aspect of a Christian's life. It's communication. It's a two-way conversation. He hears us, and we have to learn to listen to what he has to say to us. You see a man in the video, he's just, and Jesus, do this and do that, and will you bless them, and will you do this for me, and will you turn this around, will you go there, and it's all a one-way traffic. We're going, God, God, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and he doesn't get a look in. The reality is God wants to speak back to us. He wants to have that relationship with us. Prayer is the oxygen that we breathe as Christians. Prayer is the communication that God has placed in our lives. Some of the greatest moves of God started with one prayer. Some of the greatest calls of God started with a prayer. Some of the greatest acts of God being outpoured on this world has been the result of a prayer. The greatest miracles have come as a result of a prayer. So what is Christian prayer? It's the most important activity we can have in our lives. And I don't want this morning to be a condemnation trip. So you might be sitting there already going, oh gosh, I haven't prayed in weeks. We're going to take that away from you, right? Prayer is one of the most talked about things, but one of the least things practiced. And there's two ways of presenting a sermon like this. Telling us how bad we are, are encouraging us and inspiring us to actually want to be with him, to actually want to pray. Which do you want? You want to be inspired. You want to be encouraged. You want to be, yeah, come on. I want to really, really hear something and practice something that is beneficial to my life, and not only to mine, but to others. Prayer for a Christian is our lifeline. It's our fellowship. It's the vehicle where intimacy is developed with God. You know, the whole Trinity is involved in prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray, and he says, this is how you pray, our Father, who art in heaven. But he talked about our Father. He says, this is the way you should come before my Father, your God. Call him Father. Recognizing him in his imminence. I have to look up that word to break it down. And immanence means that it's a word for philosophy, and a word out of like the mystics would use this word. And it means involvement. And when Jesus addressed his Father as Father, it wasn't like he wasn't saying you're some cosmic being up there outside of all things and he's out there somewhere and you might once every now and then get a contact with him. But he says this is the way to pray, our Father, meaning a father is involved with his family. His Father is there. His imminence is he's right in the midst of everything. What's important to you is important to your Father. What concerns you is something that God wants to deal with. And so Jesus says, look, don't address your God as some being out there that's this mystic, like distant. Yeah, gets involved in lives every now and then. He says he's a Father. A perfect Father. A good Father. And he says, this is Jesus' mode when you come in. My Father. He was involved with my life. At every turn. And then he says, who art in heaven. Which is another big word called transcendence. That you address him as a Father who's involved, but the reality is, he's also a God who is not dictated to by what we're dictated to. He's outside of storms and fears and worries. He's not governed by what we're governed by. So you have a Father who wants to be involved, but yeah, he doesn't get worried. He's outside of anything because he can do anything. So we have a Father who is involved, and yeah, he's at the same time, he's a God who can do absolutely, absolutely anything. Remember when you were a kid and you go, my dad can drive an airplane. He was on the labour. But you, as a kid, social security for the Americans. And if you're English, he's on the, what's that other thing? The gyro. But as a kid, you're like, if someone hits you, you go, my dad will batter your dad. My dad was a great footballer. Like, your dad was everything. But the reality is, our dad is everything. The reality in this father, he can do anything, and yet he's involved. So Jesus says, pray to your father who's involved. And yet he's a mighty God who can do anything. There's no one higher than him. There's no one greater than him. There's nothing that he cannot do. That because he is the God of the impossible, that we start thinking like him, that like all of a sudden impossible things become part of our norm, that we go, no, my dad can fix that. No, my God is not dictated to by recession. My father's outside of that. My father's outside of pain, but yet he's involved with me in the midst of my pain. Jesus says, pray to your father. So you pray to the Father. This is Christian prayer. Through the Son. Amen. You pray to the Father. Jesus says, if you ask anything of my Father in my name, boom, it's done. Pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this great scripture by praying by the Holy Spirit. In this, do you ever go, what will I pray? How do I pray? Paul gives us an answer. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, through us with groans and words that we cannot express at times. So we pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity is involved in the activity of prayer, and that's how much the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit places on this. So why pray? Why should I pray if God knows everything? Why should I pray if I can't turn something around? We pray because it was a model that Jesus laid down. That Jesus went off to pray. Jesus, you see in the Bible, every time it says, and Jesus went somewhere up the mountain or into a valley or he went to pray, he stayed all night at times praying. And you always see the next day or soon after that in the scriptures, he makes huge decisions about his disciples. He makes useless decisions about where he's going to go after some of his time of prayer. So why pray? Jesus modeled it. Jesus modeled it. He says, when you pray, he says, he tells us to do this. When you pray, go into your room. Just you and your father. Just you and this magnificent dad who's out of this world. That's a good one. He's the best dad in the world, and he's out of this world at the same time. Why pray? Because it develops your relationship with God. It develops your relationship with God, the very thing that you were created and I was created for. Why pray? Jesus said it. Jesus modeled it. But it develops. You get to hear God. You get to know his presence. When you go into your room, you know who comes into the room? God. When you take that time out, he's there in a heartbeat. And you can't go in faith where you haven't gone in intimacy. You can't do for God things by faith where you haven't gone in intimacy. That if you go to the places of intimacy with God, you will step out in faith at far greater measures. Why? Because you know this Father who can do anything. That's enough for us all to go, see you all, I'm going home to be on my knees. Isn't it? It's like, what? I didn't know prayer was all that. See us. But when you've gone there in intimacy, there's no limitations to where you can go in faith. Why pray? Jesus modeled it. Why pray? It develops your relationship with God. Why pray? Because there's rewards to prayer. Listen to John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. But ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. The rewards of prayer is joy. The rewards of going into your room with your father, the rewards of walking with him and talking to him, whatever, is joy. If you see a joyless Christian, I'm telling you, their prayer life is... they have a prayerlessness in their life. How come those who are full of joy, you go, how are you getting your joy? Oh, it's just with my dad. Every time I'm with him, I'm reminded how great he is and how awesome he is and how involved in my life he is. That's enough to make you jump around. Do you ever get like, this happened to me last 2 Fridays ago. I was at the Assemblies of God leadership meeting. And God was doing stuff in the room. The Father was in the room. And I just kept laughing. Because joy is a result of being in his presence. Church is not about like you're supposed to be sucking lemons. Like, I'm a Christian, but I'm miserable. And joy is not about what you have in your life. It's not about having a car or a job. That's not the joy of God. The joy of God is something deeper that you know who he is and he's there. And the world hasn't given it. And the only way the world can rob it is if we let it be robbed. But the rewards of prayer, why pray? Because there's rewards of great joy. Jesus said, I'm going to make your joy complete. Why pray? Because it brings peace into your life at a level. Listen to Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, in what? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. If you want, Bill Johnson said, if you want the peace that goes beyond understanding, you have to give up your right to understand. If you want that peace that passes all understanding, you have to give up your right to understand. Because when we try to make sense out of things, we become more anxious. Where if you want the peace of God that transcends all understanding, you go, Father, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm giving up the right to actually know that. So that I can receive this peace that passes all understanding. Anxiety attacks. Prayer is the remedy for anxiety attacks. Because what brings anxiety attacks is not presenting everything to God. It's always carrying the weight and being anxious in everything. Where this is, be anxious, do not be anxious about everything. The world is crippled by anxiety. The media makes sure that we are crippled by anxiety. Wars here, famines there. Meteors coming out of the sky. What else are they going to come up with? Fear-based society, fear-based, do this or this won't happen. Anxious, where are we going to get the next money? Where am I going to feed the kids? How are we going to go my kids going to go to college? Someone says to me last week, why? Because of all the talk about the world ending. There's a fear based around it all. But I'm telling you, when you've been with your father in the bedroom, fear doesn't come into it. I don't care what happens, I'm going to be with my dad's. Oh, I must do this, and we come into law as Christians. I must do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The world's going to end, and my father won't love me when it ends. But he loves you now. He loves us when we're in our worst state. He loves us when we're sinning the worst. He loves us when we're living at the pigsty. And the church has been crippled with fear and anxiety. That's because the church doesn't know who the Father is. That's because the church has forgotten who the head of the church is. That's because the church forgets that they're sons and daughters of God. And that's how we live in anxiety. And that's how we live. But here's the scripture saying, look, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, give it over to God. And if it comes back at you, give it over to the Father again. And if it comes at you tomorrow, give it over to the Father again. And if you're in a panic attack, start praying for people. I'm saying this out of experience. 2 years I suffered with panic attacks. And throughout those 2 years, I don't know how God did it. It wasn't a remedy that I came up with. But every time they'd grip, I'd just start praying. Because what it's designed to do is that you focus on the anxious anxiety, and that makes the anxiety worse. But somehow, I didn't know this till it's finished. Then you start praying, you say, Father, I love you. I don't know what's going on inside me, Lord, but I love you.
I don't know, but I remember someone asked me to pray for them, and all of a sudden you start remembering people. And the panic attacks passed. I wasn't putting fire on them. I wasn't putting petrol on it with more panic and more anxiousness. I'm like, Father, I pray for a new car. I pray for the church. I pray for a new building. I would focus on, because the Bible says that, like, that joy, prayer brings peace and prayer brings joy. Listen to the scriptures about anxiety. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Anxiety wears us down. Here's another one. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. David's saying, Lord, will you just go through everything that's within me? And where the peace of God is not touching, will you search me out, find it, and give me a good dollop of peace in that area? Here's another great one, Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. This was written to the church 1,600 years ago. Because the Holy Spirit knew, even then, the church was crippled. They were going through getting tied up the poles and getting set on fire, by the way. They were being cast into lions' mouths. And Peter writes to the church and he says, cast all your anxiety on him. Because you have a Father who cares. Why pray? Because there's joy and there's peace there. And there's also the results of prayer. Ask and it will be given to you, Jesus said. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks at the door will be opened unto him. What's the rewards of prayer? Open doors. Things that you seek, finding. God is great at finding things. I was laughing. Chris over here lost her earring a couple of weeks ago, prior to Christmas. And then on New Year's Eve at the party here, someone walks up to the table, not knowing it was Chris's table, or not knowing that, and put an earring on the table that they'd found somewhere, and it was Chris's earring. I says, Lord, you're great at finding things that are lost. Seeking, you'll find. Knocking, the door will be opened unto you. Here's more rewards of prayer, Jesus says. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know how to do evil things, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The Father gives good gifts. The Father gives good gifts. That's the reward of prayer. Why pray? Does God always answer prayer? $1 million question. Our prayer is always answered. Always. What hinders prayer? We'll get back to that one in a minute. Unconfessed sin hinders prayers. Confess your sin so there's no blockage, no controversy between you and the Father. Disobedience hinders prayers. John says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands. Wrong motives is a hindrance to prayer. Praying things just so that we can feel good. Ask the whole prosperity movement what that's about. I'll show you how much of a man of God I am, a woman of God I am, in that whole movement, if you give me your thousands of pounds. That's wrong motives. Misapprehension of the will of God is something that won't get your prayer answered. What does that mean? It means you say the prayer and God, you have to answer whatever I say. And if I think this is the will of God for me, you must obey. That prayer doesn't get answered. Because we're supposed to bow the knee to him. He's not our skivvy. He's not our... That's why Jesus says, let thy will be done. And we think, doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work. Why? Because you wanted to work out the way you wanted to work out. Meaning, you want to be God. And if I, anytime I ever want to be God in my own life,
I make a mess of my own life. That's why I bow the knee and says, I need someone outside of me. I need someone that, not only just someone that I can get my life right, but realizing someone I can serve. So does God answer prayer? Yes, there's always an answer. It's a crime for us to pray and think that nothing will happen. It's a crime against heaven for us to pray and think nothing will happen. Now, the answer may be yes. The answer may be no. Or the answer may be wait. But there's always something happens when we pray. There's always something. It is a yes. There's a no. Or there's a wait. And it's either not good for you, or it's not for you, or it's not good for others. Whether directly or indirectly, whether immediately or ultimately. If it's not right for you, he won't give it. And it goes back to what Jesus says, our Father, I trust you with everything. I trust that whatever the answer is, Father, you know what's best for me. My kids always say that to me. I'll always obey you, Dad, you know what's best for me. Yeah, right. Yeah. God doesn't always answer prayers. Waiting. Persistence in prayer doesn't change God. It shapes us for the answer. It gets us ready for the answer. If you have a delayed prayer, you're going to get it with interest. If God has you in the waiting zone, you're going to get more than you'd ever imagine or think. You'll get that prayer with interest. So how should we pray? What should be our process of praying? We've done it this morning. We started with adoration of God. We started with putting him in his right place in our lives and in our circumstance. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. It's my timer. 8 minutes left. That you are great and you are awesome. And when you start with adoration, you place God above the problem. You place God above your needs. You place God in on his throne. Saying, Father, you're great. And you know when you start doing and start focusing on who he is, like some people make their problem bigger than God. Because why? You're making the problem. You're focusing on the problem. And it gets bigger and bigger. Whereas imagine when you focus on God, the problem gets really insignificant. You go, my goodness, I'm actually thinking that God can't do this. Adoration, worship. Confession. Removing that nail of our way. Father, I don't want any controversy. I don't want any hindrance. Search me and know me. If there's anything in me that is causing any blockage, Father, will you move it for me? Thanksgiving. It's amazing the amount of prayers that get answered when you have a thankful heart. 10 lepers get healed and 9 run off and 1 comes back. Jesus says, was there not 10 years? 1 comes back to give thanks. The other 9 was like, oh, great, answered prayer. I put a penny in the slot of Jesus and I got me cake. And the other one went back, I want it all, Jesus. I just don't want it one-off miracle. I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. And Jesus says to people like that, greater things than I've done, you will do. He doesn't say that to the 9 that runs off. Good luck, God. That was a great one. That was a great turn. That was a great little thing that I had going on there. That was a great scam. I went with leprosy. I got healed. Now I'm going off to live my life for myself. But 1 went back and said, no, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I want to go where you have to go. And Jesus said all types of things to them, even challenged him. I've nowhere to go. Do you want to still follow me? Yeah, Jesus. And then he says to those type of people, greater the things that I've done, you're going to do greater. Why? Because you're not going to run off and use it for your own selfishness. Thankful heart. And then make your supplications, your requests to God. Jesus modeled our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here's the way to pray, he says. Look at your Father. He's mighty, he's holy, he's lovely, he's great. Your kingdom come. Give us an appetite for the impossible, God.
your kingdom come. Give us an appetite for miracles and signs and wonders. Your kingdom come, Lord, that as there's no cancer in heaven, give us an appetite that there be no cancer in this place. Give us an appetite for the miraculous. Give us an appetite to see people set free from bondages. Give us an appetite, Lord. Don't let us be the body that is not connected to the head. Don't let us just think earthly. Don't let us just think this is our lot. This is what we have to sell for. If you're in sin and you're in bondage, you're in addiction, you're in sickness, oh, that's it. That's my cross. Lord, give us an appetite for something that's greater beyond us. That we're stuck, we're snookered, we're gazumped unless heaven touches down on earth. That's what Jesus says, that we can never settle for a church that doesn't represent what's in heaven. We can never. We have to continually go after, because either Jesus says, pray that prayer or believe that prayer. It's something we say or something we live out of, something we seek after. I want you to be a miraculous church. I don't want us to be just limping through till Jesus comes. I want us doing the high jump. I want us running the long distance races. I want us passing the baton on to another generation. I want my children and your children to run with a church that looks like the kingdom. Some people say this, and I don't know whether you ever hear this language, but it's about the kingdom. And it has all these insinuations. Well, the church is just something there, but the greater things happen in the kingdom. The church and the kingdom are supposed to mirror each other. The church is supposed to mirror the kingdom. It's like, so what we read in the Bible about the kingdom, you and me, are supposed to be carrying that. And if we're not, we just have to admit it. Say, Father, I want it. And he's like, I want to give you your inheritance. Your inheritance is the kingdom. But when we think like orphans and we don't think we have a great father that could do that, and we live like slaves. We live under, like, oh, my father doesn't love me today. He does love me today. He loves me not. He loves me. You know that? What's it? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. That's from hell. He loves you, full stop. It's like, he loves me. 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 He's not sort of, oh, I'm in a good humor. God is always in a good humor. He's always in good form. He's not, you never go into your dad. Is he in good form, ma? Oh, you stay out for another 2 hours if he's grumpy. Just give him the remote, he'd be all right. The Father's not like that. Because he's in control, he doesn't have to exert his control upon you. He's not insecure about his running the universe. When should we pray? Always. Paul says, pray continually, 1 Thessalonians. He says again in Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. He says, pepper heaven with prayers. Just keep throwing them up to heaven. The little ones, the big ones, the whole shebang. When should you pray? Pray always, pray alone. Jesus says, close the door and get some face time with God. Pray with others. Some people believe you don't need church. That's from hell. I'm telling you out straight, it's from hell. If you can do church on your own, why would Jesus say if 2 or 3 pray for something? If 2 or 3 agree on anything? Why would he say that if you could do it by yourself? The devil would say, yeah, you do it on your own. Sure, you can have just a relationship with Jesus. But you're called to more than have a relationship with the head. You're supposed to have a relationship with the body. So he says, yeah, pray alone, but pray with others. Again, I tell you, Jesus said, if 2 of you on earth agree about anything, you ask for it. It will be done by my Father in heaven. So the Father is into the family. There's no lone wolves in the kingdom. There was yesterday playing paintball. We had Stephen's paintball stags yesterday. That's Sean O'Donoghue, who was lone wolf killing us all. He's over there. So what's the 2 best prayers you can pray today? Here's the best prayer I ever prayed in my life.
It was on the 22nd of March, 1989. It was 22nd of March, 1989. In the National Stadium in Dublin. About 9:40. 9:40. I prayed this prayer. Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. Come into my life. I was 22 and I said, this is the words I said, I'll give you this broken life. And then he gave me his life. And that was the best prayer I ever prayed ever. And I don't know many people have ever prayed that prayer. I don't know if you're here visiting. I don't know here if you're here 100 times. And that's not being your prayer. That's the prayer that opens up the kingdom to you. Not that exact prayer. But the sincerity and the openness that comes from a heart that knows they're in need of a God and a Savior and a Father who will father you. And I would like us to close our eyes just as a way of giving privacy to us all. But if you're here this morning and that's never been your prayer, what now? Remember I said unconfessed sin separates us from God or hinders prayer. He's already paid the price for your sin. Now you need to just accept that he paid the bill. It's like going to pay for a meal. You go up and you go, no, someone's already paid that for you. What? Someone's already paid a whole lot. Yeah, you don't have to give anything. No, it's done. You just go in and have a great time. And so maybe you've never said, yeah, I want this God. I want this Father. I want this Father who was involved in my life. And yet it's so incredible that nothing in this world is greater than him. And you want to pray that prayer. You just put up your hand and pull it back down saying, oh, I want to pray that prayer. I want that to be the best prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, miss. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The best prayer you'll ever pray in your life. I'm going to pray that prayer. And see, God looks at the heart. It's not about words. It's about heart. If you mean these words from your heart, don't just make it another prayer that we pray because we're Irish. That this is a prayer of sonship and daughtership. This is a prayer that brings you into a family. This is a prayer that brings you into the kingdom. This is a prayer that opens your life up to the dimensions of God that you could have never imagined. I was only tiny when I went to the stadium. Look at the height of me now. I don't mean on the outside. I'm huge on the inside. I have a huge capacity on the inside. I have a huge reach. I can reach my arms around the city and love it. I was just happy to be going to heaven if I died. And God says, now I'm going to show you what the kingdom is like on earth. So it's not just a pet prayer. So you guys that put your hand up and the rest of us, would you join in with me with this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my life and open it up to the reality of who you are. Father, I give you my life and I accept your life. I declare today that I'm a child of God and I have a Father who loves me and is incredible. I'm yours. And the Father would say back to you, I'm yours. And here's the second best prayer. Whatever is going on in your life right now, you say, thy will be done. If the worship team can come back, we're going to end with this song. If we can, guys. You won't relent. And for the rest of us, could we stand? Here's that best prayer. You just got ahead of me, you turkeys. That just with you and God, during this song. With you and God, during this song. Father, present your requests. Present your needs. Present yourself. And you say, Father, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. I bow my knee. I give you my life. I give you my circumstances. I cast all my cares upon you. I cast all my anxiety upon you. I cast every fear, every worry, every thought that would try capture me. I take capture of that now and I present it to you, Father. And I receive your care. Because you said, if I cast my anxiety upon you, why? Because you care for me. So I do an exchange today, anxiety for peace, anxiety for joy, anxiety for answer, anxiety for knowing who you are. And Father, I say, amen. Don't relent till you have it all, oh God. Keep coming after us, Father. Keep showing, Lord, searching us, Lord, so that we can be the church you desire us to be.